On radio, online and mobile. You're with SBS Radio.
This is SBS World News Radio. I'm Greg Dyatt.
And I'm Janice Peterson. Coming up, a Royal Commission calls for the closure of the Don Dale Detention Centre in the Northern Territory.
There's this great appetite out there to change, and that's the most important thing we've got to do. They don't call Royal Commissions to maintain the status quo.
Also tonight, the final day of the UN Climate Change Conference in Germany.
Coal is literally choking our cities and our people. Around the world, we see close to a million deaths a year from air pollution created by burning coal.
And we'll preview the weekend in sport.
All those stories and more coming up in the next 30 minutes.
Good evening, I'm Janice Peterson with news at 6 o'clock. A Northern Territory Royal Commission wants the notorious Don Dale Youth Detention Centre closed and an increase in the age of criminal responsibility from 10 to 12 after shocking failures, it says, have been ignored at the highest levels. The report also calls for Don Dale's high security unit, where boys have been tear-gassed, wearing spit hoods and shackled, to be shut immediately before the centre's full closure and an end to long periods of isolation and restraint for youth inmates. Northern Territory Chief Minister Michael Gunner has apologised for the failings of previous governments, saying the Don Dale Centre will be closed.
I'm sorry. It's clear that successive Northern Territory governments have failed in their responsibility. When children are in our care, we are the parent. Without doubt, if you don't take responsibility, you cannot be part of the solution. Today, I can say it will continue with us accepting the recommendation that Don Dale should shut.
Royal Commissioner Mick Gooder says the Indigenous community wants change, including from within.
We had so many Aboriginal people working on this commission, and I called them together one day and said, we can't sugarcoat this because some of our mob are missing out there. The Central and Northern Land Council meetings we attended, half of our time was taken up by people talking about how they failed as families. So there's this great appetite out there to change, and that's the most important thing we've got to do. They don't call Royal Commissions to maintain the status quo.
And the young man whose treatment in custody in the Northern Territory sparked the Royal Commission, whose findings have now been handed down, says the closure of the Don Dale Youth Detention Centre is a key outcome. TV footage of Dylan Voller being restrained and hooded at the centre in Darwin caused outrage. He says the most important thing is that the centre does get closed.
I think the closing down of the Don Dale Detention Centre and the HSU, the High Security Unit, has never been suitable for adults. So what makes it any more suitable for juveniles? It's just a horrific place to be in, especially sleeping. It's not the best environment for young people.
The federal government says some refugees on Manus Island could be resettled in New Zealand in the future. New Zealand is offering to resettle 150 refugees from the Manus Island Detention Centre and provide $2.7 million in aid to Papua New Guinea. He says New Zealand's offer could be taken up in the future, but only after the US refugee resettlement deal is complete. 8 days away from the state election, and Queensland Premier Anastasia Palaszczuk is vowing that her Labor Party will govern on its own or not govern at all. The Premier has specifically ruled out governing with the support of the Greens or Katter's Australian Party, after already having ruled out governing with the support of One Nation. Ms Palaszczuk says voters have a stark choice between her government or one backed by the controversial party of Pauline Hanson.
What I'm offering the people of this state is good, decent government. Good, decent government. The alternative is, very clearly, a coalition with One Nation and the LNP that will make Tim Nicholls the Premier of this state.
Zimbabwe's opposition leader Morgan Tsvangirai says it's in the best interests of the country for Robert Mugabe to resign as the country's president. The call comes 2 days after an army takeover. The army appears to want Mr. Mugabe, who led Zimbabwe since independence from Britain in 1980, to go quietly and allow a smooth and bloodless transition to former vice president Emmerson Mnangagwa. Mr. Tsvangirai says Mr. Mugabe needs to think about what the people want, but Mr. Mugabe insists he remains Zimbabwe's only legitimate ruler and has balked at mediation by a Catholic priest. In cricket, Tim Payne is the shock selection in the Australian team for the first Ashes test against England next week. The 32-year-old Tasmanian replaces Matthew Wade as the team's wicketkeeper. That's despite the most recent of Payne's four test match appearances coming more than 7 years ago. But Payne is denying he'll need any time to adjust to being test wicketkeeper again, pointing to his recent action for Australia in the game's shortest form.
I was in the last 2020 side for Australia, so it's not as if I haven't been wicket-keeping. I keep every day of my life, so I'm as ready as I've ever been with the gloves. And I'm just rapt to have the opportunity, and I plan on making the most of it.
Cameron Bancroft will make his test debut, replacing Matthew Renshaw opening the batting, and Sean Marsh has been recalled to the side to fill the number six spot in the batting order. Now, look at tomorrow's weather. Perth, morning storms likely, showers and 24, partly cloudy for Adelaide, 25. Afternoon showers and thunderstorms and 27 the top for Melbourne. For Hobart, partly cloudy, 27. Showers to hit Canberra, 20. For Sydney, showers and 23. Brisbane, rain at times, 23. Mostly sunny in Cairns, 31. And a possible shower or two and a storm coming the way of Darwin, 34 degrees. Greg, more on those stories coming up on SBS World News at 6:30.
Okay, thanks, Janice. Right across Australia, this is SBS World News Radio, 6:07 now. As you heard there in the news from Janice, the Northern Territory Royal Commission has recommended the closure of Darwin's notorious Dondale Detention Centre. Also, raising the age of criminal responsibility and ending long periods of isolation and restraint for child inmates. Peggy Giacomellis has our report.
The Royal Commission and Board of Inquiry into Protection and Detention Systems of the Northern Territory has revealed systemic and shocking failures and is calling for the implementation of an early intervention family support program, amongst other recommendations. The Commission is pushing for a major policy shift favouring rehabilitation and community-led measures. The Northern Territory's Chief Minister Michael Gunner says his government is supportive of the recommendations and ready to take action. But first, he made this apology.
It will live as a stain on the Northern Territory's reputation. I am sorry. I am sorry of the stories that will live on in those children who are in our care, children that we have failed, because our youth justice and child protection systems are supposed to make our kids better, not break them. They are supposed to teach them to be part of our society, not to withdraw from our society. They are supposed to make our community stronger, not weaker. When I became Chief Minister last year, I accepted the responsibility of making change.
The report says failures over many years include children and young people being subjected to regular, repeated and distressing verbal abuse, physical control and humiliation. Isolation and restraints continue to be used inappropriately and punitively, causing suffering and very likely, in some cases, lasting psychological damage. Commissioner Justice Margaret White says, along with recommending the closure of the high security unit, the Commission would also like to see an increase in the age from which children can be detained.
We've recommended raising the age of criminal responsibility to 12. Now, before you think that this is an incredibly radical proposal, many countries around the world that have very similar systems to ours have 12, 14, some cases 16 years. In Scotland, for example, their plan is to have no children in detention at all. But it's 16 presently. Our neighbours across the ditch, New Zealand, have 14 years as their age for criminal responsibility. That is the age below which no child can be charged with a criminal offence. They're dealt with instead as welfare matters.
The inquiry believes its youth justice recommendations will save the Northern Territory government nearly $336 million over the next decade. In contrast, if no action is taken, youth detention costs would rise to $113 million a year from $37 million by 2026 to 2027. Some of the other recommendations include include a new model of bail and secure detention accommodation, a shift towards diversion and therapeutic approaches, and a 10-year generational strategy for children and families through a network of no fewer than 20 family support centres. Commissioner Mick Gorder says intervention needs to come before children become known to authorities.
We've got to be able to intervene when people need help, before it gets to the stage where someone's rang up and made a mandatory report, either a police officer or a teacher or a health worker. We've got to grab those kids and families that need the help and give it to them when they need it, not when we're ready to remove them or they're ready to go into detention. And this is going to be a paradigm shift for the Northern Territory. And this is where the difference will be made. The evidence tells us that. If we support families when they're in need, the kids will be a whole lot better. They will reach their full potential and become responsible citizens, if you like.
Dylan Voller, the young Aboriginal man from Alice Springs who came to public attention over his treatment in youth detention, has since his release been advocating for improved conditions for youth in detention. He's told SBS that while the memories of his time at Don Dale remain painful, he's glad some change has occurred.
To be honest, I think that the detention centre have made me worse than what I would have been if I would have had the right appropriate rehabilitation and stuff like that, but I guess now I'm on the right path and I guess I'm just looking positive to the future and trying to make a difference to the younger people so they don't go down the same path. But also I want to thank all the other young kids and witnesses, the Don Dale guards that have supported us and helped us and actually come forward and reported what they've seen. It means a lot to us young people that them guards can actually stand up and say, no, that's not right.
A statement by the Prime Minister's office welcomes the report and says while most of the recommendations are matters for the Northern Territory, it will now carefully consider those findings directed to the Commonwealth, noting many had wider implications for all jurisdictions.
Peggy Giacomelis with that story. 12 past six, coming up later in the show, the final day of the UN Climate Change Conference in Germany, where 20 countries, including Australia and Canada, have joined an alliance to try to phase out the use of coal.
Around the world, we see close to a million deaths a year from air pollution created by burning coal. Not only is there a human cost, there is also a huge economic cost, totaling billions of dollars a year.
That story coming up. 6:15. The Australian government is softening its language and says it may consider a refugee resettlement deal with New Zealand. But Prime Minister Malcolm Turnbull says his priority is completing the refugee deal with the United States first. It comes as a senior Turnbull government minister is warning any New Zealand deal could affect diplomatic relations. Miles Morgan reports.
The Prime Ministers of both countries have changed, but New Zealand's offer to resettle 150 refugees from Australia's offshore detention centres has been standing since 2013. New Zealand leader Jacinda Ardern has used several conversations with Australian Prime Minister Malcolm Turnbull over the last month to push him to accept the offer. Prime Minister Turnbull says he has other priorities.
We thank them for the offer. They've kept it outstanding, but our focus is on completing the resettlement arrangements with the United States, which of course covers up to 1,250 refugees. So we'll complete that. And then, when that is complete, then we can reconsider the New Zealand proposal.
So far, only 54 of those 1,200 refugees have gone to the United States. More than 350 refugees and asylum seekers have barricaded themselves inside the mothballed Manus Island facility in Papua New Guinea, refusing demands to move to alternative accommodation. Prime Minister Ardern told reporters in New Zealand earlier this week she intended to spend $2.7 million Australian on assisting them.
There is a job to be done to care for those on the islands in the interim. We intend to work with PNG and other agencies like the International Red Cross to financially support them with any additional needs that may need to be met while those refugees remain on the island.
And she said the only way her offer to resettle some of the refugees from Manus Island could be successful is if the Australian government facilitates the deal.
The only way resettlement in New Zealand can happen is via Australia. They hold the information. They are the ones who are presiding over the process. There is no other way for us to further this offer than via Australia.
But Australian Immigration Minister Peter Dutton told Sky News he could do nothing to stop PNG and New Zealand making a deal.
That's an issue between those two countries.
So they can. PNG can make that decision agreement with New Zealand.
Well, any country, any sovereign state can enter into a bilateral arrangement. That's an issue for the respective states. They would have to think about other equities within the relationship, within the respective relationships.
Minister Dutton says New Zealand's financial assistance to Manus Island is a waste of money and warns any deal done by New Zealand could affect its diplomatic relations with Australia.
It is the wrong decision to send people to New Zealand because in the end, you'll start the boats, people will fill up the places that we've created, the vacancies we've created in Nauru, you'll get the deaths at sea again, and I'm just not going to preside over that arrangement.
The opposition leader, Bill Shorten, is supporting Prime Minister Ardern, his Labor counterpart in New Zealand.
Well, I actually think New Zealand, in good faith, is offering to take these people, and I think that if New Zealand, in good faith, wants to take these people from Manus Island, then Australia should not get in the way.
Bill Shorten ending that story by Miles Morgan. 20 countries, including New Zealand, the UK and Canada, have joined a new global alliance to quickly phase out coal. The launch of the alliance at the UN climate talks in Bonn highlights how Australia's continued support for coal is putting it increasingly at odds with some of its closest allies and Pacific neighbours, as Rosemary Bolger reports.
Since the 2015 Paris Agreement, several countries have announced plans to phase out coal as they look to reduce their carbon emissions. They've come together in a new group called the Powering Past Coal Alliance, launched at a major UN climate conference in Bonn, Germany. 20 countries and two US states have already signed up. Canada is one of the founding members. The country's Environment Minister, Catherine McKenna, says the move signals the end of a fossil fuel that accounts for 40% of global greenhouse gas emissions of carbon dioxide.
Coal is literally choking our cities and our people. Around the world, we see close to a million deaths a year from air pollution created by burning coal. Not only is there a human cost, there is also a huge economic cost, totaling billions of dollars a year.
Many Pacific Island nations, which are most threatened by sea level rises, have also joined. At the launch, British Environment Minister Claire Perry said she hoped to see four times as many people at the Alliance's event at the next climate talks to be held in Poland next year.
It feels like a very important tipping point to be bold and ambitious, and I think this Alliance is exactly that. It's not about telling people what to do. It's about celebrating the benefits of what is possible and helping all of us achieve these very big steps for the sake of our planet and for the sake of generations to come.
Camilla Bourne from climate change lobby E3G says the alliance is a good start, but it must achieve results.
One is to grow the club of countries. We're going to see sort of maybe 15, 20 today, but we need to expand that and we need to move to including all of the OECD countries. The second thing we need to see this alliance doing is sharing practical experience and policy on how to deal with the challenges and opportunities of transition. So the social issues, the economic issues, the legislative issues.
It's unlikely Australia and other heavy coal users such as India and the United States will be among the new members. Australia already relies on coal for three quarters of its power consumption, and its new energy policy could push that up to two thirds. That's already generated criticism from Pacific Island countries, such as Marshall Islands President Hilda Heinem, who said she hoped for a change of government that would bring a new direction on coal. New Zealand's climate change minister, James Shaw, urged Australia to join the alliance.
Well, my message to Australia is that we are all in this together. We each need to do our part, and we've each got to transform our economies. They know that, we know that, and we continue to work with the Australians to make sure that we are all pulling in the same direction.
Australia's Environment Minister Josh Frydenberg is in Bonn for the climate talks and showed little interest in the alliance. When asked about it, he cited Bloomberg's 2017 energy outlook, predicting coal would remain critical to Asia's power supply, accounting for about a third of electricity in 2040. Mr. Frydenberg also announced funding for blue carbon in the Pacific, $6 million for projects in small nations, such as replanting mangroves and seagrass or protecting crops from storm surges. Earlier this week in London, Mr. Frydenberg used a key speech to trumpet the Turnbull government's big plans for the Snowy Hydro 2. He says the project is an example of Australia's innovation in tackling climate change.
Rosemary Bolger there. Coming up.
For the pain, suffering and hurt of these stolen generations, their descendants and for their families left behind, we say sorry.
It was the 30 seconds that ended the siege of the Lindt Cafe in the heart of Sydney.
Cardinal Pell is facing multiple charges.
He wins it for us, John.
Here's Aloisi for a place in the World Cup.
He wins it for us.
He scores!
Bit of a curious mix there. I'll tell you what that's all about a little later in the show. But to sport now, and this weekend, the Rugby League World Cup takes centre stage as it enters the knockout rounds. There's also rugby union, football and women's Ashes cricket to look forward to. John Baldock compiled this preview.
At the Rugby League World Cup tonight, Australia and Samoa will battle the heat and humidity of Darwin in the first quarter final of the tournament. The Kangaroos are strongly favoured to reach the last four despite the conditions. But according to Michael Morgan, every game from now on will be tough.
From here on in, there's not going to be any easy games. And, you know, being the Australian side, teams are always going to be to lift and be looking forward to playing against you. So we've got to try and embrace that and, like I said, continue to improve.
One man looking to enjoy every minute of his time back in the side is fullback Billy Slater. He was rested for last weekend's game against Lebanon, but now he's decided next year will be his last as a professional. Slater says he's embracing every opportunity he gets.
I think when you get towards the back end of your career, you look at it a little bit different. You always appreciate the opportunities that you get when you play representative footy, and especially for your country. But I'm 34 now, and I'm not silly. I know it's coming towards the end, and you know this might be the last time that I get to play in the green and gold jersey, so certainly relishing the moment.
On Saturday, New Zealand lines up against Fiji looking to reach the last four. Should New Zealand and Australia both win, they'll meet in the semi-finals. The other match on Saturday sees Tonga and Lebanon meeting in Christchurch. Tonga will be full of confidence having upset New Zealand last weekend. On Sunday, England and PNG meet in the last quarter-final. Australia's women's cricket team can secure an Ashes victory tonight if they can beat England in the opening T20 match at North Sydney Oval. Leading the series 6-4, a win for Rachel Haynes' side means England cannot reclaim the trophy. And Haynes says the one-day, test and T20 format of the series has worked well.
In terms of formats of series, this is one of the best series to be part of because it is a test of your skill across all the disciplines. So from my point of view, and I think from the team's point of view, we would love the format of this series to be continued.
In the English Premier League on Saturday night, SBS has the pick of the round when Arsenal and Tottenham do battle in the notoriously keenly contested North London derby. No quarter is asked or given, but with Arsenal already 4 points behind their rivals, the pressure on Arsene Wenger's team to win and close the gap will be intense. The action gets underway on SBS at 11 p.m. And that coverage flows right into the Wallabies' spring tour match against England at Twickenham. Despite beating Wales last weekend, Australia knows it'll have to be more disciplined and not give away as many penalties at Twickenham. Kirtley Beale is enjoying a roving role in Australia's backline, with Michael Checker yet to confirm which jersey he'll wear against England. But wherever he plays, Beale says the team must not give away as many penalties.
I thought when we did get penalised that the boys responded really well and you know, reacted to the situation in front of us, and I think that was that's a huge testament to a lot of the guys out in the field. That was hugely important, and it's great that it didn't really affect us in the end.
Coverage of the Wallabies clash against England gets underway on SBS at 1:50 a.m. on Sunday morning. SBS Viceland, meanwhile, has coverage of the Adelaide 36ers match against the Sydney Kings in the NBL on Saturday afternoon from 5:30. And on Sunday, SBS has coverage of the Melbourne United match against the Perth Wildcats. And if football is your sport of preference, while that match is coming to a conclusion on SBS, the W League takes centre stage on SBS Viceland, with Perth Glory and Melbourne Victory going head-to-head.
John Baldock with that look ahead to sport. Just a reminder that if you're not near a TV at 6:30, you can always live stream our TV news bulletin by going to our website, sbs.com.au/news, sbs.com.au/news. You can also get our content in your Facebook news feed by liking our page, SBS World News. Now, next week, our new programming schedule here on SBS Radio begins with some new languages added, others being dropped completely, and some programs having their hours either increased or decreased. It's something that's done every few years in response to data we get from the census and the consultations that then take place with the communities that we serve right across Australia. So from Monday in this time slot, you'll hear different language programs going to air in place of this one.
SBS Radio broadcasting for more than 40 years in 68 languages across Australia, including in the language that links us all, English. Our team has been telling stories from around the world since 1992.
America will start winning again. Winning.
The tragic killing of 28 Australians on board MH17.
As well as yarns from our own backyard.
For the pain, suffering and hurt of these stolen generations, their descendants and for their families left behind, we say sorry.
It was the 30 seconds that ended the siege of the Lindt Cafe in the heart of Sydney.
Cardinal Pell is facing multiple charges.
He wins it for us, John.
Here's Aloisi for a place in the World Cup.
He wins it for us.
He scores!
Award-winning content about the communities that make our country what it is today.
The Queensland government has left the families of the victims of the Marlusara tragedy bewildered by saying they've run out of time to claim compensation.
Today, echoes of Srebrenica, marking the 15th anniversary of the Srebrenica massacre.
There's one sector of the financial world that appears to be more resilient to the current environment. That sector's growing and has plenty more room for growth, yet its existence remains unknown to most Australians. It's Islamic finance.
Over the 4 days of the Melbourne Cup Carnival, an estimated 400,000 people will dine on 700 dozen oysters.
For more than two decades, we've broadcast thousands of stories on frequencies across Australia. And while you will no longer be able to hear us on the radio, you'll still be able to hear our stories online anytime. Join us at sbs.com.au/news/audio.
And our thanks to Peggy Jacomelis for putting that together. As Peggy mentioned there, our content will be available for you online at sbs.com.au/news/audio. Now, speaking of news, a quick look at the news headlines for you. The Northern Territory Royal Commission, sparked by the treatment of children in detention, has handed down its final report today. It's recommending the closure of the notorious Dondale Detention Centre in Darwin, among other recommendations. The Mayor of Devonport, Steve Martin, has announced he intends to replace Jackie Lambie in the Senate, should he be cleared by the High Court. And in cricket, wicketkeeper Tim Payne is the shock selection in the Australian team for the first Ashes test against England next week. Well, that's SBS World News Radio. You can see Janice Peterson bringing you SBS World News tonight across Australia. SBS News and features available on our website at sbs.com.au/news. I'm Greg Dyett. Thanks for listening.